The autumn wind is a raider, and when it blows, it comes from the Las Vegas desert. Back to Silver and Black Today, here on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
Welcome back to the Silver and Black Today, here on Raider Nation Radio 920. We're going to talk to one of the fine young players on your Las Vegas Raiders, and that is A.J. Cole. He is the punter, number 6. And A.J., you know what? They talk about offense, they talk about defense. Special teams, a huge part of the game. You guys don't always get the love you deserve, but how you doing? How's Las Vegas treating you thus far?
Yeah, Las Vegas has been awesome so far. Number one takeaway is it's hot here, but you know, it's been great so far. Really enjoying it. The facilities are incredible. Really enjoying the atmosphere in the city. It's been super welcoming, and we're really just happy to get here and get started.
Yeah, the last time I saw you, we were out at the stadium, and Mark Davis and the organization had officially switched over to the Las Vegas Raiders name. And at that time, I know you had not been here before, right? So you were kind of just taking it all in and trying to see what you could at the time.
Yeah, I was fresh off the plane. That was my first time in Las Vegas. I was trying to get a little lay of the land, and I was, you know, looking at the bright lights of the Strip and all that. So, I've kind of been here for about 2 months now, getting my feet wet a little bit and figuring out where everything is, you know.
So you decide to come to Las Vegas, obviously, with the Raiders. And, of course, we have this worldwide pandemic and everybody's stuck at home. You guys can't work out like you usually do. How's that been for you? You know, whenever we talk to a player, we always like to get their sense of kind of how they've kind of kept it together, how they've worked out. And what did you do with a lot of your time?
Yeah, it was definitely weird not having the OTA process. And it's probably the longest I've gone without being day-to-day part of a team since maybe in my entire life. So it was definitely weird just being away. I was training in Alabama in the off season with a couple other specialists that are playing in the NFL and the CFL. So just trying to take the opportunity, because anytime that something happens, I think that, you know, there's an opportunity to get better. So just using the a little bit extra time to kind of retool my game a little bit and try and work on some of my deficiencies. And at the same time, you know, we were having Zoom meetings and everything. So just trying to stay as connected with my teammates as possible, so that when we show up, it's not just introductions. We can actually, you know, kind of get to know each other and build those relationships.
Again, we're talking to Las Vegas Raiders punter A.J. Cole. And A.J., you know, last year, good year for you, man. 67 punts, you had a 45-yard average, 33 of those inside the 20. If you could boil down really your biggest lesson from last year when it comes to your punting game, your kicking game, what would that be? And how did you arrive kind of at where you are now, feeling more confident going into your second year?
Yeah, rookie year was definitely a little bit of a baptism by fire, because every week it was trying to figure out, you know, who we're playing, what they're doing, what are their strengths and weaknesses, and at the same time trying to figure out your own strengths and weaknesses. I learned so much about kind of how to prepare for game day, how to act on game day, my, you know, mentality, mindset, just getting my body ready to go. It was extremely educational, for sure. There was definitely some high points, definitely some low points, and I think that coming into year two, I've just learned so much, you know, just about how I have to get myself ready to play on Sunday. And so I'm excited to kind of take that information and put it to the test and go out there and you know, just let the fruits of my labor kind of speak for themselves.
That sounds great. Now, you come into the Raiders last year, of course, the transition year. Last year in Oakland, you got a little taste of that, being up in Alameda, which you were supposed to be here there this year as well. But unfortunately, because of all this, it didn't happen. But when you look at the move to Las Vegas and the excitement around this team now, of course, we heard, unfortunately, fans not going to be part of that at the stadium. But for you as a kicker going in, and I mentioned this to you when I saw you the first time, you now get to kick indoors. You don't have to worry about wind, at least for their home games. You don't have to worry about wind. You don't have to worry about all that kind of stuff. How is your preparation going to be any different when you're playing at home inside Allegiant Stadium?
Yeah, you know, I think that it's just something that we're going to be able to take advantage of. I think that having the perfect environment and knowing that we're going to play in that 8 times a year, I think that that's definitely something that we're going to try and use to our advantage, hit some different punts that you might have more confident in, more confidence in the dome. But yeah, you know, I don't think it really changes too much about your preparation because we still have an outdoor practice facility that we're at most of the time. So I'm still, you know, working in wind and everything like that. But it just gives you, you know, just a little extra confidence. It's one less variable, one less thing you have to think about. And you can use your focus on just, you know, putting the best punt out there possible.
Now, you went to school at North Carolina State, of course, had a great career there, third in the program record book with 42.2-yard punting average. When you look back at kind of mentors, other kickers and punters that you have talked to and have really gotten to know, who's really been an influence on you when it comes to continuing to kind of refine your game and get better?
Yeah, there's been so many people along the way that have really helped me. Starting off, you know, with the two people that basically taught me how to punt, which was Mike McCabe and Dawson Zimmerman, two of my coaches from back in the day. And then in college, you know, our special teams quality control coach, Doug Shear, was incredible for me. And then, you know, just so many coaches I had at NC State really helped develop me along the way. But one of the biggest things for me is, as I spoke about earlier, there's a lot of specialists that actually go train in Birmingham, Alabama. We all kind of live in the same area. We work out together. We kick together. Ty Long, who's the punter for the Chargers, is actually the one who kind of founded that and started that movement. I think that's been such an awesome experience because when you're around the other guys that are doing your job at the same level as you, there's so many things you can pick up, and there's so many lessons to be learned, and the conversations we have just about you know, what's going through our head as we're running onto the field on fourth down. How are we attacking the week in practice? Like you talked about earlier, like how are you working with the wind? How do you punt a dome? Different things like that. So those conversations and then just the technique aspect, learning from other professional specialists has been really awesome. And that's something that I think benefited me greatly.
Raiders punter A.J. Cole joins us here on Raider Nation Radio. And A.J., if you had to talk to fans, I think when it comes to the kicking game, you know, a lot of TV guys, when the commentators are speaking and they're talking to fans, bringing the game along, they don't necessarily talk about techniques and all that with kicking, especially with punting. If you had to tell fans, you know, hey, here's the one thing that you don't know about being a punter in the NFL, what would that be?
Oh, that's a great question. One thing that you don't know, I would just say that there's a lot more that goes into it than just, you know, catching and kicking. I think that a lot of times it gets simplified, but it's really, you know, it's kind of like playing golf in the middle of a battlefield is the best way I can describe it. Cause there's so much, fine tuning of your mechanics that you got to do. And at the same time, you know, there's, 10, you know, massive human beings running at you, and you got to get the ball off in, you know, 2 seconds from snap to kick or less. And so it's an interesting movement, but yeah, that's the thing I would say is that it's not as simple as it looks. And there's a whole lot of different mechanics and different styles of punts that a lot of times the average, you know, fan might not necessarily catch. So just keep your eyes peeled. You might see something interesting.
Now, is there a guy on an opposing team that was really trying to get in your head this past year and yelling across at you when you were there?
You know, not so much. You know, it was kind of interesting because I played so many of my teammates from college. So there was some chirping going back and forth at halftime. against, you know, because I played against guys like Bradley Chubb, who's with the Broncos now. Garrett Bradbury, who's the Vikings center, you know, different guys that play like that. You know, if I had a good punt and backed them up, you know, they're getting in my ear like, hey, you know, we're coming for you. Don't do that again. You know, so, it's all good fun. But I would say that not outside of anybody that I already had a relationship with.
Now, AJ, the Raiders have a great and rich history overall, but they also do it at the punting position. The best, I think, ever, Ray Guy. We didn't have alumni weekend, obviously, because of camp this year. But did you get a chance to spend some time with Ray Guy? And what kind of advice did he give you?
No, I've actually never met Ray Guy. But yeah, like you said, the Raiders definitely have the greatest, you know, punting, probably the greatest punting lineage in history between, you know, Ray Guy, Shane Leckler, even Marquette King lately. You know, there's just so many greats that have done it. But I haven't got a chance to meet Ray Guy, but he's obviously someone that, you know, that's the punter that you grow up hearing about, and he completely changed the position.
Now, you also, you know, you're a bright guy. You graduated, you had a degree in industrial engineering, and the way I remember or understand industrial engineering is you look for ways to kind of, in the production process, cut down waste. Do you go up to Coach Gruden and Coach Gunther and different coaches, Bisacci, and say, hey, listen, I can help you streamline the production or the practice here by doing this and doing that?
You know, not quite at that comfortability level yet. I think that might be something for down the road. Right now, I just try and focus on punting and holding, stay in my lane a little bit. But, you know, it's funny you said it, though. I do think there's definitely some crossovers that I try and take. And, you know, industrial engineering is all about, you know, maximizing your efficiency. And there's a term called Kaizen, which is continuous and daily improvement. And I just try and take that and apply that to my work and my punting. So,
well, AJ, you're off to a great start of your career, and I know all of Raider Nation is glad you're here, and we look forward to watching you boom some in Allegiant Stadium, trying to maybe hit some of those trusses up there. We'll see how well you do with that, just for fun, right? But we appreciate you taking time to be with us here on the Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
All right. What a good conversation. AJ Cole, good guy. An engineer. That dude's got the brains.
Yeah, he really does. And now he's got to have the ability to pin the opposing offenses back deep in their own territory. That's what he's got to master now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, but you know what? The kicking game, I know we don't talk a lot about kicking because it's special teams and all that. But like I said to him when we're talking to him, it's like, look, it's important.
It's huge.
It's huge, especially that punting. I mean, yes, you got to kick your field goals and your extra points, no doubt about it. But especially when you're talking about playing in the AFC West, where you have these high-flying offenses, you got to pin them. You got to get them as far back as you can so that you have a chance for your defense. All right. Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Q and I are going to talk with Mick Akers from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. If you follow Mick in any social channels, you know he's been at the forefront of letting you all know what's going on with the stadium. So we'll talk to him about just how far we're off from everything being done there. And then we'll also ask him a little bit, too, about the financial impact of the Raiders having no fans. You're listening to the Silver and Black today here only on Raider Nation Radio.
Welcome back to Silver and Black today. Here's Scott Gulbranson and Q Myers.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. Welcome back. Silver and Black today in the stretch run on a Friday. Q and Scott are here with you, and we are going to go back out on our newsmaker line and bring in one of our favorite guys here locally. That, of course, is the Las Vegas Review-Journal's Mick Akers. And for Raider Nation across the country, the evolution of Allegiant Stadium and its construction and progress have been great interest, of course. But for those of you guys not here, and there's lots of you I know, the stream is going strong here from Raider Nation Radio. It's been hard because you're not driving by it like I am every day or folks are. And that includes you, Q, right? You're not here yet. So
no doubt.
So we've been able to follow the progress through, of course, live cams and all that. But as both a writer at the Las Vegas Review-Journal and using his social media channels to keep you all plugged in, Mick Akers now joins us. And Mick, how crazy is it that we're done with this thing, even though we can't go inside?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of an anticlimactic ending. Obviously, all this hype has been building up over the last, like, 2.5 years, you know, since they started the construction. Watching it rise up, you know, from, you know, the 62-acre dirt lot to what it is now. And then they're like, all right, we're done, but, you know, no one can come inside yet. You know, you just kind of hang outside the gates and, you know, look at it. But, it's, you know, in its own right, you know, it's entertaining. You see a lot of people there day and night, you know, going down there and checking it out and taking pictures, you know, just kind of looking at it up close now. But, you know, it is anticlimactic, but like Mark Davis said, you know, we waited this long, but we're, you know, waiting another year.
Yeah.
Mick, what is some of the exciting features that you've seen so far up close and personal?
You know, you just, you know, getting up a little bit closer to the gates now, you see, you know, the brick entry for the legacy bricks. You know, that's pretty cool seeing the Raiders emblem there right in front of the Raider image. You can kind of get a peek inside the Raider image from the outside, and looks like they have some kind of statue display going on in the middle when you walk in. So that's going to be a nice little, you know, introduction when you walk in there. Just some of the architecture, getting a little more, you know, up close look at, you know, the black curtain wall, you know, of the glass, and then the media mesh going up around the stadium. You know, just kind of get a little bit more detail, you know, kind of appreciate what some of these, you know, trade workers did when they, you know, putting all this stuff up, you know, in a short amount of time that they did it. So kind of just gives you a little bit more up-close view and, you know, a little bit more appreciation of what the stadium is.
Again, we're talking to Mick Akers from the Las Vegas Review-Journal about Allegiant Stadium. And, Mick, we know the Raiders got that initial certificate of occupancy for Allegiant Stadium, but what's left to do to polish this thing off? Again, no fans, but they want to get it all done and get the workers out of there and actually start using the facility. So what left do they have to do?
Yeah, it's a lot of the punch work. So any kind of major project, you know, road work, big building, any casino, anything like that, we'll say the substantial completed, and then they have some things left to do that wouldn't impact, you know, the opening or, you know, holding an event or letting people come in and gamble at, say, the casino. So it's a lot of touch-up paint, some fixtures, some furniture. Obviously, the media mesh is one of the things. Getting that marquee sign right there on Dean Martin and Al Davis Way, that thing, you know, lit up and going, that's one of them. Most of the landscaping's done. I know there's a couple of things they got to do on that end, but, you know, a lot of it's inside, back of the house stuff that even, you know, the general fan's not going to see anyway.
Mick, you've been all over this thing from the very beginning, and I know I've talked to you multiple times just on the progress that's been going on, but as far as COVID-19 and how it's affected the city of Las Vegas, I mean, you go back to the draft, obviously no fans in Allegiant Stadium, bars, restaurants. How much of an economic hit has Vegas taken in 2020 due to COVID-19?
It's going to be a large one. We're still kind of, you know, waiting it out and seeing, you know, how big it's actually going to be, but just, you know, going 78 days with casinos closed and then reopening, and now they're sitting at about 40-some-odd percent occupancy rate there. So, obviously, you know, people are coming, but not at, you know, the rate they were before. Tourism dollars, obviously, is big here in Las Vegas. It also goes in the room tax. A lot of people are worried about that for paying for the stadium, which, you know, they have the reserve fund anyway, so they're good on that end. But, so we're going to, you know, I think toward the end of the year, beginning of next year, we're going to actually see, you know, how big of a hit it is. But I think it's going to be one of the larger ones, obviously, because, you know, casinos never shut down for that long. So it's going to be pretty substantial.
Mick Akers from the Las Vegas Review-Journal joins us here on the Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio. And, Mick, back to the stadium. One of the things I know, especially for Raider fans outside of Las Vegas, has been about the parking and the tailgating, okay? Huge issue for them. And now they can't attend this year. The team has more time to kind of even refine this original plan that I know you've written a lot about. Where are we with that? And might this actually be a good thing for that piece of it, because they could even refine it more because they have more time?
Yeah, so they've always said, hey, we have this, you know, parking plan pretty well, figured out over the years. So that since they released the parking plan, they said they have about 25,000 spaces, you know, within the stadium area, so they obviously have enough. But if you look in the, they have little directories out there now from the stadium, and you can kind of see where some of those lots are going to be at. You know, they're kind of spread out all around from, you know, like Tropicana down to Valley View, and they throw in Mandalay Bay and all those, you know, properties there. So they obviously had, you know, something set up, but it does give them more time to kind of, you know, hey, we can get a little bit more, some closer spots here around the stadium. They were working with some of the businesses around the area as well, trying to set up a parking coalition type deal where they'd have a set parking plan for, you know, the businesses and help them run it, so they would have business A charging X amount and business B charging this. So it kind of, you know, prevent that from, you know, becoming an issue. But as far as the details, you know, they still haven't released the final parking plan. They have, you know, a brief one on the Allegiant website and, like I said, around the stadium. But, yeah, this does give them more time to do so. But if they, you know, they were going to have an event in August 22nd, rescheduled that for a concert, they would have been ready to handle the parking.
Talking right now with Mick Akers on the Silver and Black Today Show on Raider Nation Radio 920. And how about the Modelo tailgate area? How fancy and how cool is that going to be?
Yeah, so Mark Davis was saying, hey, it's going to be, you know, on the level of Super Bowl, you know, style event area. So he mentioned they're going to have tents set up, obviously a lot of activations with their sponsors. He mentioned stages with music and such. You know, when you go out there and you look down there, it's a large space. So they're going to have, that's going to be like the main area. Obviously, Modelo, the one of the founding sponsors. They're supposed to announce what their deal is next week, you know, kind of unveiling their special edition Raiders can and such. So that's pretty cool. But they also have another lot on the other side, on the north end of the stadium, the F-150 lot, where they're also going to have some other kind of tailgating and style things going on over there. And there are some spots on the stadium side itself where people can actually park and tailgate, which, you know, a lot of people were complaining about. But, you know, any site that the Raiders run parking-wise, shuttle or walking distance, they're going to allow tailgating there. So there's not going to be, you know, anything short of options there. But, you know, some people gripe about it because they're not all going to be on the stadium site. But, you know, with the common day stadium being built in dense areas, you know, it's kind of, you know, foregone conclusion that was going to happen anyway.
Mick, what about the other areas around the stadium? So not a development perspective, but here we were before COVID. I know it was just in March, but there were plans in place. I know that, for example, go out to the M Hotel has a relationship with the Raiders closer to their practice facility. They're building out a Raider bar for next year. What about properties like Mandalay Bay and the MGM properties around there? Do we know if they're also planning and doing anything to kind of cater to Raider fans on game day?
Yeah, so obviously one of the main roads, Hacienda, they're going to close that down and, you know, have the bridge going across the stadium, the main entrance there on the north side. That was supposed to be, you know, where a lot of people, up these 20-some-odd thousand fans were walking from the strip area to go to the stadium. So MGM was, you know, working on having some game day events, you know, at Mandalay and the Luxor right there, and also have a plan play a part in the Hacienda bridge experience as well. But earlier this year, right when the COVID stuff started hitting, their president, Bill Hornbuckle, said, hey, we're going to hold off on that this year. That was before, you know, the no fans thing was announced. So they already were planning on this, you know, the kind of whole half of the year, obviously, with the predicted, you know, no fans or less fans in capacity. So they do have plans there. So once, you know, fans are going to be allowed to go and everything, they're going to have, you know, nice event style, you know, going up Hacienda there. So, you know, when you're walking to the stadium, you'll have fun. When you get to the stadium outside, you'll have fun. And when you get in, obviously, you get the game and get the experience of the Allegiant Stadium inside.
Outside of COVID-19 and obviously the impact it's had in 2020, is there ever a time where you just kind of take a step back and almost pinch yourself and can't believe that, hey, this professional football team is here, this amazing stadium's here, this facility's here, it's about to go down in the city of Vegas with a professional team like the Raiders?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of just covering it all these years and seeing everything build up and, you know, the fan base kind of build up more and more here, you know, ever since when, the, you know, the stadium progressed and the HQ was progressing. You know, they seem like a lot of people are kind of taking to the team more. A lot of people are saying, hey, they're never going to replace the Golden Knights out here and such. But now, you know, it seems like a pretty even split. You know, you see a lot of Raider stuff going around here. But, you know, seeing everything done and, you know, just from the renderings all the years, just pushing those out and just giving updates. And, you know, it's pretty cool to see it come to fruition, you know, especially in the timeline that they always promised that a lot of people doubted. So, you know, just seeing everything come together and kind of silence a lot of those people, you know, it's pretty good.
Now, Mick, before we let you go, you did a story, of course, with Mark Davis's decision to go with no fans, which I was in support of because I think it's the right thing to do. All or none is, to me, a good plan. But it has a financial impact for the Raiders and other teams who decide it. And I know Forbes had some reports about that, also some of the ticket agencies. What exactly, when we look at that decision, what could that cost the Raiders from a financial standpoint?
Yeah, so it looks like they're going to be among the hardest hit, obviously, with all the PSL success and season ticket selling out there for 65,000 seats. You know, it's a brand new stadium. So obviously there is a lot of interest, especially on the secondary market as well. Some of these, they're the number one, you know, reseller there. So they estimated it at about 571 million ticket IQ, the ticket broker site. So that was number one in the league. And then Forbes, I talked to the guy who generates their annual team valuation list, and he said they're going to be among the top third, you know, hardest hit, which in comparison, they did one based off last year's numbers, you know, when they're in Oakland, and they would have been dead last in the revenue loss. So obviously moving to Vegas, you know, is a lucrative thing. He mentioned, hey, the PSL sales, 40% of them, you know, were outside of Nevada, shows that they have a national draw. And he's like, hey, it puts them in the discussion, you know, with the Cowboys, the Patriots, and the Steelers as a national brand in the NFL.
Great. Mick Akers from the Las Vegas Review-Journal, great friend of the show. Mick, I know, too, you grew up nearby, so, and you're a UNLV guy, so it's amazing, isn't it, to see the progression of this city as a sports city when it comes to the professional teams?
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, just growing up as a kid here and, you know, being a big sports fan, following big-time, you know, basketball and football guys, so just always going to UNLV games and, you know, always – checking out Summer League and getting some of those exhibition games to get a little taste of it, obviously. But then, you know, you're always in the back of your head, well, hey, I wish I had a team of my own. So, you know, some of these kids growing up here now, you know, they're not going to know how it was back then. They're going to have, you know, all these sports options out here. So, you know, definitely feel, you know, they're lucky kids out here. Obviously, we'll be the old guys saying back in my day, you know how it was. So,
I was going to say,
it's pretty cool. It's a good time for Vegas, you know.
I was going to say, Mick, you're a little too young to be getting out there and saying, get off my lawn. I mean, you gotta be careful with that's more my territory.
Right, yeah. Yeah, there's always time. You know, give me a few more years and I'll be on the lawn there.
Well, Mick, we appreciate you. We appreciate all the job you've done covering this, and we'll have you back on the show, I'm Sue, very, very soon. Take care, my friend.
Hey, guys, thanks for having me, and congrats on the new show, guys.
All right, thank you very much. All right, there's Mick Akers from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. And Q, I cannot get away from these RJ guys. I mean, we just get off the phone with one. There's one to my left now. Vinny Bonsignor is in the studio getting ready for his show, and he's going to come
on with
us. It's all good, right? But, hey, yeah, the stadium stuff, I mean, again, it's delayed gratification. People won't enjoy it till next year. But it's changed. It's like, you know, the thing that struck me, what Mick said, and I see this myself because I've gone down to the site a lot with my drone and done a bunch of stuff, is the fact that it is an attraction in itself. People just want to go out there and see it and take pictures of it. And while there are some stadiums that way, you know, not a lot of people go to a city and say, we got to go take a picture in front of the football stadium if there's not a game going on. So another very unique thing, I think, with Las Vegas, too.
Well, it's interesting looking stadium. You know what I mean? It's so much different than most of the stadiums you see across the National Football League or just in professional sports in general. You know, with that black look, it just looks awesome. It looks like it should be the home of the Raiders. And so, yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of people going down there taking pictures. And if it wasn't so hot there, I'd suggest let's do our show from outside of there. But,
hopefully, hopefully one day we will. But Vinny Bonsignor joins us now, the host of In the Huddle, excuse me. Why do I want to say inside the huddle?
It's an easy, I've done it.
Have you done it?
Yeah,
okay.
I've done it.
That makes me feel better. But In the Huddle with Vinny is is next here. You're going to wrap up your week with him. And Vinny, you know, we were both out at the facility today to get our COVID test.
We were, yep, absolutely.
Which was non-invasive.
No. And okay. I had there were a couple of players that I texted because they've been through it like every single day. I'm like, all right, what am I up against? They're like, dude, it's super easy.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. And it's don't worry about whatever horror stories you've heard. Don't worry about it. And they're right. So it was 1, 2, 3. Now we'll wait for the results.
Yes.
Go back on Monday. And if everything's clear, then we get the green light to go into the building next week and start watching some football practice. Darn it.
I know.
By the way, I was out there, Vinny. First of all, I've been saying it all show. I want to credit that process and what they're doing out there.
Biotech, was it, right?
No, I have it in my pocket here. I'm going to pull this out.
All right.
They gave you this little card so you can check your test. BioReference.
I didn't get that.
You didn't get that? I'll give you a copy.
All right.
So you can check your results online.
There's a reason you didn't get it, Vinny.
Uh-oh.
You're good.
It's already.
I got to get out of the
studio.
Scott
got it because he got to call them after the show and just kind of talk about his options.
We need to talk.
But I was impressed with what they're doing out there.
Yes.
But then I get out of the trailer, because it's in the parking lot. I get out of the trailer. I start walking back to my car, and I hear something.
Mm-hmm.
And there's guys with numbers on their back running on the grass.
That's right. That's new to you, right? Because you haven't been through the OTAs and the practices.
Not with the Raiders.
Yeah.
When I worked in college sports, obviously, I was around it all the time. And then I was in boxing, so I was around guys sweating and bleeding all over the place. But when it comes to the Raiders, it was nice to hear the sounds of football, wasn't it?
Definitely. And it's a sound that I've been longing for. Haven't had 1 second of it this offseason. I'm never, ever. And I told my guest yesterday, Rich Hammond, a guy that I worked with for a long time in Los Angeles. And there were days during OTAs in the past where you're like, you know, time's dragging, you know, and what are we really doing out there? But I'm never going to say that again, ever, because there really is a lot of value to watching practices, even in that setting. You see football players at that level, and you get a sense, you know, you get a sense of who's going to be able to play and who's not going to be able to play. And I miss it, and I can't wait to see it. Beginning sometime next week, we're going to see them in their ramp-up period, the four-day ramp-up period, and then after that, it's the 14 padded practices that will take us right to the edge of the season opener, right to prep week for the Carolina Panthers on September 13th. So it's happening really, really fast, and everyone just has to try to keep up, because everyone in the NFL is dealing with the just how quick things are going to move here in the next couple of weeks. Yeah,
yeah, and I mean, they're only allowing, we were talking about this earlier too, they're only allowing 10 members of the media per day to cover it. Of course, you'll be there, I would imagine, every time, because you're the local paper beat writer, which is great for this station too, because we get you in there all the time.
Right.
At the same time, though, I think that that's going to be different for people too. Is just you're going to see coverage. You're going to have pool coverage, just like they do with politics and the president of the United States and all that stuff, which is great. So people still get access. What I want to ask you about, though, too, we talked about it earlier as well with Q, because Q covers Baylor football. Because he's down there.
Bryce Hager.
So you covered him, buddy, with the Rams.
I did.
Tell us what the Raiders are getting with Bryce Hager.
A heady player. He's not going to if you need some snaps, if a guy goes down, he can start games for you. He started some games for the Rams. Really good special teams player. Great in the locker room. Kind of a quiet guy, but a fundamentally sound, solid football player who I think has a chance to, you know, provide some depth. And that's exactly what the Raiders are looking for. Obviously, they revamped their linebacker core. Losing Markell Lee failed the physical, no longer on the team. So they needed to bring another linebacker in for training camp and see where it goes from here.
Yeah, so we had a question up. We do a debate every day now.
Yes.
And Coach Gruden yesterday said that Malik Collins was the key to the team's season on defense. We asked Raider Nation, and they agree, 54% to 46%. What say you?
Vinny, I remember one time Magic Johnson said the key, he wasn't playing anymore with the Lakers, but maybe he was at the time, but he said Eldon Campbell was the key to the season. And you laugh at it, exactly, that's the reaction, but what he was saying is, look, we have all the other bases covered. If we can get that from him, if that we can get this from him,
yes,
that X factor, or just hold down the fort at your position, we're going to be in pretty good shape. And I think what John was basically saying is, if they can get the production that they think that they can get from Malik Collins in terms of run defense, but really more than anything is putting pressure on the quarterback. He's really good at that. And if he can occupy double teams and let linebackers make some plays and free things up for Farrell and Max Crosby when he comes back, if he can do his job, then it's going to make the whole defense better. When you have that three technique in the interior of your defense, being able to lock it down. So is he the key to the whole defense? I'm not going to sit here and say that, but he's an important integral part of what they're trying to do. And if he could do his job at the level they believe he can, then it changes the dynamic of the defense.
It's really, in my opinion, Vinny, it's that position in general that's really the key, because they haven't had that consistent push up the gut like you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. And that push, especially when you're talking about, you know, playing quarterbacks like Patrick Mahomes, where that push pushes that guy off of his spot and maybe into an oncoming rusher from the edge. That's what Aaron Donald was so good at. He would just blow plays up in the interior. He would line up sometimes on the outside, but a lot of times he was more inside, and just being able to just destroy plays from that part of the defensive line. And then all of a sudden you're the quarterback and you've got this guy breathing down your neck from the interior. Now you're turning left or right, and there could be an oncoming rusher coming from the edge, and that changes things. So yes, the interior push that teams get is vital to run defense, and also when you're talking about rushing the passer.
Now, Vinny, before we go, you have your own show. You have column inches you got to fill every day. But what little inside stuff are you going to get? Are they going to sign? Is there anybody on the horizon you think maybe to help at the get another body in for defensive end?
Jadeveon Clowney.
Just spit it out.
Yeah, there you go.
Stop dancing. Stop doing your belly.
What's the latest that you're hearing on some of that?
They're definitely monitoring the situation.
Gotcha.
As they would anybody that would be out in the open market right now. What it boils down to is, you know, the Raiders have to be cognizant of how much money they have under the salary cap, what the demands of the player is. And so you just have to basically dance that dance and hope that, you know, you can meet somewhere in the middle or somewhere that's, it's going to have to be closer
lots
to what
incentives.
The Raiders are. Yeah. You know,
right.
Or, you know, if he wants a certain number, you try to do it in a 2-year way where, all right, we'll give you that, but we want you next year, or we want the option on you next year. So you make it a 2-year arrangement rather than just a 1-year arrangement, but they're definitely monitoring it and teams are falling off. I thought the Chicago Bears might've jumped in there. That I don't know where that is right now, but they're one of the teams that are standing, and that's always a decent position to be in because you have a shot at that point.
It beats the opposite.
Yes.
No doubt about it. All right. Vinny Bonsignore are coming up next with In the Huddle. Don't miss it. Great, great show. You close out your week strong with Vinny B. And Q, that's week one, man, in the books. Raider Nation
Radio.
Yeah, I
know, man. It's kind of bittersweet. It was awesome. It's been a lot of fun, but now we got to wait a couple days before we get to do it again.
Next week we put the pads on.
That's right. Vinny said next week we put the pads on. And also gives Vinny the weekend to break news that we can come in and talk about.
That's right.
Which is fantastic.
There you go. Sounds good to me, man. Thanks for letting me be a part of it. I appreciate you.
Of course. Same here, my man. For Chris Chapman, our engineer, for Q, your boy Q, of course, Q Myers. I am Scott Gilbranson. We'll talk to you next week here on the Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio 920.